When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to the Shorty. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. There's Jerry. We don't say last names on these because we're crunched for time.
Does that mean we need to say welcome to the long form when it comes to the other ones?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think that's a great idea.
Change is good.
But you have to roll your L. Welcome to the long form.
Whoa. I didn't know you were so good at that.
Or wait, there's an L and an R in there. Let's see if I can do it. Welcome to the long form. How is that?
You look like and sound like you're underwater.
And eating peanut butter.
Speaking of eating peanut butter, mm-hmm. Did you know that in ancient Rome, if you ate a couple of gallons of peanut butter, it was very acceptable to stroll on over to a vomitorium and throw it up and stick a feather down your throat, or have some young child stick a feather down your throat.
Or Bill Murray.
So you could so you could throw up and then eat even more peanut butter.
That's right, Chuck. That's an indisputable fact of history.
Not true.
No, and you know what? Something was bugging me researching this. I was like, I feel like I've said something like on the podcast before where I referenced this being correct, and it wasn't.
Did.
I probably did. But I'm in pretty good company because we've got this idea that in ancient Rome, it was totally normal to go throw up, basically binge and purge.
Yeah.
But purge in like a public area that's designated to go purge. That's been around for at least since the 1920s, and we can trace it all the way back to Aldous Huxley, actually, who created this misconception.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was a true fact up until 2 days ago.
Basically, everyone does, so don't feel bad. Again, you're in the company of Aldous Huxley.
How are you pronouncing that?
Huxley?
Not the first name.
Aldous?
Aldous?
What do you pronounce it as? Deletrius?
I think you're swapping the U and the O.
Aldous? Aldous?
I think it's Aldous.
Oh, I like Aldous.
All right.
I've rechristened him.
Well, he was a very Aldous person.
I don't know what that word means.
I just made it up.
Oh, okay, cool. Good, because I was really embarrassed for a second.
Yeah, so apparently, well, let's go back to Rome, to quote the great Frank Black in the Catholic song. Mm-hmm. Vomitoria, which is the plural of vomitorium, there were these things in ancient Rome, apparently.
Yes.
But it was just a very, well, to my ear, weird name for a very now common thing.
Yeah, and they actually know who was the first to reference it. It was a guy named Macrobius back in the 4th century CE. He just used it as a term to describe basically a passage into and out of, say, like the Colosseum, where people would be disgorged out.
That's such a gross word.
Into like you've been to Colosseum, right?
To the Colosseum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, same here. It's an amazing place. And there's just a lot of walking space that's actually really effectively designed. And one of the reasons why it's so effectively designed is because of these passageways to your seat and then back out into the main walkway around the perimeter inside the Colosseum.
Yeah.
Those places in and out between the two, those are vomitoria.
Yeah, what do we call them today? It's a, not a portal, but a...
A portico, maybe?
No, I mean, it's just like, it's like any modern stadium design. It's the hallway open thing that you walk through and then you're like, Now I'm in the stadium. What do you call that? Concourse? No.
I think we should just go back to calling it vomitoria.
Yeah, I'm going to say that next time I go to a Falcons game.
Yeah.
Hey, meet me at vomitoria 244.
Pardon me. Can you direct me to my vomitorium?
I can't think of the word, and it's really bugging me.
I know what you're talking about, and I want to say it's like portal 2.
I mean, it is a portal. Maybe some people call them that, but...
I think that's what they're called in, like, sports.
Yeah. So there were 76 of these, though, around up and down the Colosseum. And apparently, did you say how many people that they could shuttle in and out of there yet?
No.
Apparently, 50,000 people could get in and out of this thing and like to their seats within about 15 minutes.
That's not bad.
That's amazing.
Can you imagine the poor schmo who had to sit there and time it by looking at the sun?
So many went blind right. until it finally happened.
They'd have to replace the person every 30 seconds. As they were carting them away, they'd be like, I got to 30 seconds.
What is the name of those things? That's going to bug me.
I don't know.
Should we take a break and talk about Aldous Huxley again?
Aldous.
All right, right after this.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Stuff you should know. All right, so you set us up with Aldous Huxley. What in the world did this, how could, in the world could he have affected this?
I mean, I guess he just heard of it before, and basically he mentions it in passing in a single line. He wrote a comic novel called Antic Hay. It was about post-World War I decadent, like upper-class society.
Yeah.
And he just basically mentioned like a goth coming into a vomitorium. And I from the line I saw, it didn't even really seemed to be like he was talking about the goth was going to come throw up or anything like that. But that was the first instance they could find of somebody using it not in the way that Macrobius was using it, as that portal thingy, right? So they think that he was the first one to say this or put it down in pen to paper. And you have to give him a break because he just injected a tremendous amount of LSD into his own eye before he started writing this, right? Uh-huh. So we're going to excuse him. The next person who gets zero excuse whatsoever is Lewis Mumford.
Yeah. And
he was an historian. He was a critic. He should have known better. He did not do his research. Apparently, he had been reading Aldous Huxley and just basically cited it as fact in one of his books, The City and History.
Yeah. And he full on defined it as where you overeat and you go and make yourself throw up.
And he just made that up.
Yeah. As a fan of Huxley's, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think he ever took a drop of acid either. He has zero excuse. Lewis Mumford does.
Well, here's the thing, though, and this is where it does get kind of gross, because even though they did not originate in ancient Rome, there are real vomitoriums, apparently, in places like Vietnam. And I looked this up, and I was trying to find a picture, and I did find one. Mm-hmm. And it looks like where you would go to the sink and wash up in a public bathroom, but it has – it looks like a tiny toilet bowl. Like, it's got the shape of a toilet bowl on a, you know, like waist high.
Right.
And then above this, at least this one, it had a little tiny toilet tank even. It looked like a miniature toilet, except waist high.
So I saw one that was like a big stainless steel sink with like one of those like dishwasher. Like, you, have you ever washed dishes for a living?
Oh, yeah. That was my first job.
So, you know, that's right. We talked about that. Didn't you rat out like everybody?
JJ's Barbecue. I didn't rat out anybody. What are you talking about?
What was it?
I worked at JJ's. I was a busboy and dishwasher.
But they stuck their tennis shoe in like the Brunswick stew or something awful like that?
Yeah, but I didn't rat him out. I should have.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, so you know like the dishwashing sink thing?
Uh-huh.
The faucet?
Yes.
It had like one of those. So yes. I guess you're expected to rinse the sink out after you vomit into it. But the way you know what you're doing, and I saw your picture too, is there's a sign, like a road sign type graphic of somebody throwing up.
Yeah.
And that's how you know to use it. So it's like it's like fiction became reality.
Yeah, so like it has someone kind of bent over heaving out you know, graphic spew. great band name.
Right.
they opened up for GWAR for a while.
Oh man, I'll bet. Actually, I did see a band called Vomitorium.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Graphic spew though, man alive.
But apparently all over Ho Chi Minh City, you can find these things. And some of them even have like pictures of ancient Rome and stuff, I guess as a nod to the false claim that they started in ancient Rome.
I know. My head's about to pop.
And what about Germany? That gets even grosser.
So this article on How Stuff Works says that they're puke pans. They're known colloquially as puke pans. Not true. The only place I saw that on the internet is in this How Stuff Works article. But there are vomitoriums in Germany. There's a place called Hofbrauhaus in Munich. That's a beer hall that's known to have a vomitorium.
Oh, I've been there.
Oh, really?
I've been to the Hofbrauhaus.
Did you see the vomitorium?
No.
I'm sorry, the puke pan?
I did all my puking in the potted plants.
Oh, there you go. So. I think that's that's gauche, man. That's like wearing white after Labor Day.
No, so there is one at the Hofbrauhaus, supposedly?
That's what I saw on TripAdvisor.
So our article claiming that in German frat houses that, first of all, I didn't know Germany had fraternities. That's got to be.
Yeah, this whole thing just stinks of misconception. Yeah.
Well, their source was antique-photos.
I didn't know.
Whatever that is.
It's a Crystal Link site, I think.
So at the very least, we know that in Germany there are designated puke places. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's, first of all, you shouldn't be drinking so much that you regularly throw up anyway.
That's point number one.
But if you've ever been in a bathroom stall and walked in like, oh boy, I got to pee, and it's just got vomit everywhere, it's one of the worst experiences you can have as a human.
Yeah, especially if you don't have to pee but have to poop.
Oh, well, forget it. It's like Trainspotting.
What is? I never saw that movie. What happens then?
Well, there's a scene where he goes to throw up some heroin that he had ingested so he can shoot it.
Mm-hmm. And oh, man.
It's a sort of a dreamy sequence. The bathroom is labeled as the worst bathroom in Scotland, and it's nasty, and he pukes in there and then reaches in, and eventually Ewan McGregor goes all the way into the toilet and swims around.
Oh, wow.
So it's a fantasy sequence.
It does sound a little dreamy.
You know everyone's fantasy about going into a puke-infested toilet and swimming.
Yeah. Am I missing out not having seen Trainspotting?
Yeah, it's a classic.
Okay. Well, I'll go check it out, right?
You got anything else on this gross? I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, I am too. Everybody, we're moving on. If you want to get in touch with us, you can go onto our website, stuffyoushouldknow.com, look for our social media links, and then send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
Hey,
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.